Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today is Thursday, July 14th, 2022. I am Sally Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. Hey, Frankie. Welcome. Welcome, Reverend Philip. Oh, okay. Welcome, Power Girl. Welcome, Dust. Welcome, welcome. We're going to get started here in a moment. And welcome. Hi, Cole. Welcome back. It's been a minute. Welcome. Welcome to anyone who chooses to join in via YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. Okay, I'm gonna stop the music. Let's see. Yeah, I'll stop the music here and get started. Okay, so welcome everyone. Welcome. Thank you for taking time out of the middle of your day to join me on my show. Okay, so today I want to talk about, do you ever pause your dreams and push rewind? How many times have you had to adjust your life to fit your life? And what I mean by that is, you know everything that you want to do. You have everything planned out, but something happens. That hiccup comes where, oh, damn, I wanted to do this, but now I have to do this, So you have to kind of make a detour. You have to kind of make a detour in your life in order to get back on the right track. What if, have you ever wanted to go to school, but something happened and for whatever reason, you couldn't go that year, or maybe you just had to put it off, until, and that until could be, if you were, having to care for a family member, or you had to help support someone, or whatever. I think I'm saying I think, because I don't know, I could be wrong, but I think most people have had dreams that they've had to put on hold. Welcome Petty Deb. They've had to put on hold, kind of push the rewind button and start over. And again, I say to adjust your life to fit your life, because as you get older, there are so many things that you have to change, especially if you're dealing with other people. When I say dealing with other people, I mean, if you have a family, the things that you did when you were single, you may not necessarily be able to do when you get married. When you get married and have children, you may not necessarily be able to do a lot of the things that you did when you didn't have kids. Or if you're that single parent, you're the one who's mainly dealing with this child. So how many times, and that is what I mean, how many times have, you've just had to kind of put your life on hold, or push rewind, or just do things, where you had to, like I said, adjust your life to fit your life. Welcome, Alpha Mike. You know, because I can say, let's see, let's get this on the way. I paused my dreams for this. Wow, Doss. Wow. You know, but, you know, I can say that for the most part, I've done everything that I've dreamt of doing. Some things I'm still working on, some things I've just really had to kind of put to the side for a while, but I hope to come back to it. But, you know, but when you put children into the factor, I can honestly say that the day before my son was born, I was doing things one way. The day after my son was born, and after that, my life was completely, my life was completely different. It didn't get back to way it kind of was before until he was older. So let's see. Alpha says, what if we aren't awake and actually dreaming this now? You know what? Then I hope it's a pleasant dream. I hope it's not a nightmare. And if it is, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. So has anyone, you know, had something that they've wanted to do, you know, that you've wanted to do that, that you just haven't been able to do, meaning you've put it on hold, but you've never gone back to it, but you really want to, but for whatever reason, you just haven't, because you couldn't, or you just don't feel like it, or travel. Okay. So is that travel around the world, travel to certain destinations, travel because of family, because of money, because of job? I mean, is it something, Doss, that you see yourself doing, at a later date? Hey, Alpha says, not me. I'm just cruising by till the end. Okay. All right. So Alpha, then let me ask then, do you have a bucket list? And welcome Alejandro. Do you have a bucket list? Welcome Alejandro, whoever you are. Welcome. Okay, I was waiting for Alpha and Doss to respond. Okay. So, okay, Doss says, travel for pleasure. It has been on hold since having children. My wife and I are trying to plan for travel for just us as the boys get older. Okay. So have you, Doss, have you gone on family trips, family vacations? And Alpha says, yeah, of course. Am I going to do it all? Probably not. So, Alpha, let me ask this. Do you have more than 10 things on your bucket list? Yes, away right now. Oh, this is Doss's wife. Okay, yeah, but it's not. Well, welcome. Mrs. Doss. Yes, but it is okay if I don't get to do it all. Okay. All right. Well, travel is one thing that I think everyone should be able to do. And I understand that, you know, for whatever reason, some people, you know, can't for financial reasons, or just the fact that they just don't have time. But it would be cool if everyone would be able to take at least one good trip in their lifetime. So, and Petty Deb, did I miss you? Did you? No, you did not. Okay. So, when you have to push rewind, and usually when people push rewind, is usually, you know, for an event in their life. So without sounding cold or crass or anything, and I'll probably end up sounding cold and crass. Have you ever had to push rewind on your life? And you were really kind of, for lack of a better way of saying it, you were really kind of pissed off that you had to, you know, because it was kind of interfering with what you wanted to do for that next goal. You know, would you push rewind on your life if it was an opportunity that you didn't want to pass up, but there was maybe something there where you really had to make this difficult choice, and you knew that if you hit that rewind button, you would not be able to have that opportunity again, and therefore that dream is like gone. Okay, Josh says, looking to have more time for us to stay connected. The focus has been on our children, as it should be, but we also need to make time for ourselves. Yes, that is one thing that I do believe, that as parents, you do need to make time for yourselves. You know, and I say that, you know, because one day your children are going to be older and they're going to be gone. They're going to be grown. They're going to move out the house. They're going to have their own lives, their own families. I mean, when children get into middle school, they start to really do that independent thing where, you know, they're hanging out, or they want to hang out more with their friends. And then when they get into high school, you know, yes, you know, of course they're still coming home to the family, but they have other things that they want to do, you know. And then one day you look up and your children are gone. So then you look at your husband or wife and you're, you know, you don't want to sit there just looking at each other and saying, okay, so what do we do now? And everyone, you know, goes to their respective corners. So, you know, I do believe that, as your children are growing up, especially when they are younger, that you do take time for yourself, so that when they are older and they are gone, and this is just my own, you know, opinion, when they are gone, then, you know, it'll be easier for you that hopefully husband, wife, or your significant other or whomever, you're not so much a stranger, if that makes sense. So, so aside from your children, have you ever had to, you know, as you've been an adult, had to push rewind, say for your mother or father? And have you ever resented it? You know, I know that, you know, in some cultures, when the parents get older, the children take care of their parents, more so in other countries than for the U.S. But do you see that as putting your life on hold, or you know, putting a pause on your dreams? Can you still, do you think you can still make your dreams come true if you're living in a multi-generational household? Will you have that opportunity to do that? Okay. Hold on, I'm missing some. Okay, and Doss says, my parents have always been there for me, and as they get older, I will always be there for them. No resentment is part of the cycle of life. Oh, okay, Doss, you know, and, you know, in some families, you do have parents who have always been there for their kids. But what about those people whose families or whose parents have not always been there for their children? I don't want to necessarily say they were bad parents, but they just, for whatever reason, they haven't always been there for their children. But they still provided. You came home every day. You had a place to sleep. Food was on the table. You had, you know, clothes to wear. You know, but they just weren't there. You know, maybe they weren't there physically because they were working all the time, or maybe just mentally they weren't there because they were just doing their own thing, or they were in their own world. Should you pause your dreams or your life if your mother, father were older and they needed you? Would you, how do I want to say this? Would you knock or look down on the person who didn't take care of their family? Hey, Shelby, welcome, welcome. I'm sorry I didn't see you there. And D-Mac, welcome, welcome. I apologize. I had to scroll up. So is that, I mean, is that wrong that you're not there for them, but they weren't there for you, but they were there, like I said, they put food on the table, you had clothes to wear, you had a house to come home to, but they just weren't there mentally or physically. Because you do have some parents who, you know, and you know, and it's interesting because it seems like that, and I say it seems, and I put that quote unquote, that there are some parents who have all the money in the world. They are very well off. And yeah, your kids can go on vacations and they can drive the cars and they have these nice clothes to wear or whatever, but the parents are not there. The parents are not there. So if you were one of those kids that grew up with seemingly everything, and your parent needed you when they got older, should you be there for them? If they were that parent who gave you everything, but then they were starting to decline either mentally or physically, they're in that wheelchair, they're in that walker, they don't move as fast, they're walking slower, they may be a little hunched over. Should you push rewind to help those parents? Okay, so Doc, you're saying if they have all that money, they can hire some handlers. Yes, yes. So are you saying that then if they were those type of parents who had all of that money, that they, you know, that lets you off the hook if they were not there for you mentally and physically, then, okay, well, you know, mom and dad, you all can't afford to hire someone to live in or come in every day. Okay, Shelby says, I think we should because two wrongs do not make a right. And Don says, yep, I just want my cat. Okay, so, Shelby, you say two wrongs don't make a right. So again, and I'm going to flip it. Let's say your parents don't have all that money. Your parents, you know, struggled, whatever, and for whatever reason, like I said, but you still came home. You still had food. You still had a roof over your head. You still had clothes to wear, you know, whatever. But for whatever reason, they were not there physically or mentally. Your parents were not there. And you say two wrongs don't make a right. Okay, but if you're in a decline, if you as a parent, welcome Crazy Town, if you are in a decline physically or mentally, and you just weren't a very good parent, should I still put my dreams on hold and, you know, push that rewind button to help you? And helping you may end up being, you know, not just 1 year or 2 years, but it could end up being like lengthy, let's say 10 years, and I'm taking time out of my life, do I not have a right to say no, or maybe put you in a home or something and go on with my life? And I'm and Shelby, I'm playing both sides here. So okay, because for me personally, on one hand, I do believe that if, you know, like you see some in some Indian homes and some Chinese homes, on one hand, I do believe that, you know, your parents have taken care of you, you know, they've done all these things for you, you know, and they've supported you, then yes. But on the other hand, I say, well, if you were one of those parents who just weren't there for me and I always had to pretty much fend for myself, or even if, you know, you did provide for me, but you were just not there, then I think I have a right to be just a little bit selfish. And if you were really a parent who was just not a good parent, I think I have a right to be 100% selfish. Welcome, Shy Lady. So, I mean, Shelby, do you think that, let's see, Shelby says, I am in that situation now and I would never put my mom in a home. Okay. So are you saying you would not put your, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I am going to kind of put you on the spot, but if you don't want to answer, you don't have to. If I say, so are you saying you would never put your mom in a home out of guilt more so, or just the fact that you just don't want to see your mom in a home, and you, and again, like you said, two wrongs don't make a right. Because with this, you know, and I understand the home thing, because, you know, there are some, oh my goodness, you know, and I shouldn't laugh, but there are some, you know, homes out there, which, you know, I think are just horrible, places. But what if you had one of those parents, like I said, and you know, you have to pause your dreams, and you have to put your life on hold. What if taking care of that parent is really hard on you? It's hard on you physically, it's hard on you mentally, and if you have kids, it's hard on them. You know, you could be spending more time taking care of your parent as opposed to being a parent. Does that make a difference? Shelby says, I have seen what goes on in those homes. Plus, I don't have guilt, but she did the best she could for me. Okay. All right. So she, okay. All right. And then Petty Deb, you say get help. Okay, but Deb, what if you don't, welcome Ninja Bunny. What if you don't have the means to get help? Everyone, you know, they can't afford to have somebody come in and help. So what if you can't afford that? And with the way some of these hospice the way some of these places are, hello, just a minute. The way some of these places are now in terms of getting help, a lot of these places, you know, they don't even, you know, have enough staff, because those people are leaving the workforce. So what if you don't have, and you said Medicare and Medicaid help some. Okay. All right. So Petty Deb, are you saying that you would have help come in those situations? Okay. All right. So if you had help come in and there's something that you still wanted to do, would you pretty much just leave it to the help while you still pursue the dreams or goals that you wanted? That you wanted to do? Would you just like leave it to the help? Welcome, Lou Rock. Yep, for the most part. Okay, so for the most part, for your parents who were there for you and gave you everything, or for the other parent that I said who they just weren't there, you know, they checked out or weren't very good parents. Okay, Deb, are you coming up? Okay.
Okay.
I can hear you. Welcome.
Cool. Okay, so the reason why I'm saying that is because of my last employment, and I work for an elder care lawyer. So maybe because I know more of the ins and outs, I would feel comfortable leaving, you know, having somebody come in if I could afford it. My cousin, he has ALS, fully bedridden. So it's just his wife. But like things like when she has to bathe him, she needs help. So to put him in the hoist and all of that. But she does have respite care so that if she wants to go, and that's what the Medicaid and Medicare will pay for, some respite care. So yeah, for my mom, if I wanted to do something, because when she was living with me, but she wasn't bedridden or anything. She was still getting around. If she was bedridden, yeah, I'd still take respite care, because you have to take care of the caregiver. If you can't take care of yourself, then your loved one, they have no hope.
Okay, so Deb, let me ask this then. So you have, you know, help coming in and whatever. Would you still pursue the things that you wanted to do?
Yes. Right down okay. to traveling. Yeah, because my mama wouldn't want me to hold back.
Okay. So if it meant that, I'm just throwing this out there, you know, let's say you were going to travel and, you know, you were going to be gone, you know, two weeks here and 2 weeks there, whatever. I mean, would you like, if you had planned, like, you know, in 2023, I'm going to, you know, we have planned on taking this whole summer tour across Europe or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you were taking your mom or dad, you know, was living with you, mm-hmm. would you still go?
Yes, I would go.
Okay.
We would work it out. Her and I together would work it out.
Okay.
Because we have enough people in, you know, in our supportive circle, because that's what we did, you know, back home. You know, if you need some help, you know, like somebody will come in for 2 or 3 days or things like that. And that's what I'm used to. But if you don't have those resources, I do know that Medicare and Medicaid, they will pay for some type of respite. But yeah, I would go. She wouldn't want me to go. She wouldn't want me to stay. She would be miserable if I stayed and didn't do what I wanted to do.
Okay. All right. And Shelby says, just because they were not good parents does not mean you can't be a good child. So Deb, what do you think about that? If someone was not a good parent doesn't mean you can't be a good child.
I would not be a good child. Okay. I would not.
Okay. So Shelby and Deb, I understand what you're saying, because I can honestly say that if I were the parent that needed round the clock care, whatever, I would not want my son to stay home and put his dreams on hold to take care of me. because then, you know, that takes up a chunk of their life that, you know, like we were talking about the other day, you know, that's time that you can't get back. But if they were not a good parents, and again, I don't mean, and Shelby, when you said that your mom did the best that she could for you, I'm not talking about parents who they did the best that they could. I'm talking about if parents were just, they were just not there. They were just absent both physically and mentally. They were just not there. I can honestly say it would be very hard, very, very hard for me to be there for them had I grown up in that situation. And again, I'm not saying that they did not do the best that they could. I'm saying that they could have done the best that they could, but they chose not to. So, Shelby, let's see. Senna says, we just tell ourselves fantastical, fabricated stories to give meaning to our objectively pointless existence. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, Senna, because I don't think our existence is pointless. I think that no matter who you are, everyone has an opportunity to make something of themselves. Well, welcome by. And I don't mean, you know, you're going to be a senator or pope or something like that. I mean, if even if it's just you're the person who every day you go down and you open up the shelter and you're, you know, passing out food for 10 hours a day. That's not pointless. I think everyone has a purpose. Now, whether or not we choose to use some of the gifts that we were given is one thing. But if, you know, but I don't think people have, I don't think that we have a pointless existence. So Deb, I'm going to ask you, since you're up on the panel, do you agree with what Senna says? And before you say anything, I just want to read what Lou Rex says. Lou says, yeah, I feel that my parents tortured me and I basically take care of them now. Okay. And Shelby says, right now, my mom is mentally ill. Right now, my mom is mentally ill and she worked two jobs to make ends meet. Okay. So again, like you said, Shelby, she did the best that she could. Okay. So Deb, what do you think about what Senna says?
I started getting wrapped around my own thoughts and I lost, you know how I do. I lost.
Okay. Senna says, we just tell ourselves fantastical fabricated stories to give meaning to our objectively pointless existence. And I don't think, and I just said that I don't think that anyone's life is pointless. I think that we all have a purpose, but whether or not we choose to go that route is one thing. But I don't think that, you know, we live a pointless existence.
No, we may think other people live a pointless existence. Like, why are you here and you're taking up this air? But that's how we view other people in their own mind. They're here because they feel like their life is not pointless, even though they're sucking up good oxygen.
Okay, well, I guess that's what Lou says. Lou says there's plenty of pointless sinners everywhere. Well, everyone sins, so there's definitely sinners everywhere. But Deb, I consider a serial killer sucking up oxygen. I consider someone who murders someone, you know, sucking up oxygen. So what do you think about that?
They are sucking up oxygen, and that poisonous energy is going all over the place, and that's when you get all those copycat people. Yeah, they are sucking up air. However, okay. It is
cheaper to keep them incarcerated than it is to put them to death.
Okay. So Shelby, welcome. Welcome, welcome. So let me ask this. So have you put any of your dreams on hold because you are taking care of your mom, or you're content, or?
Well, my kids are grown. So I'm basically an empty nester. So if, you know, anytime that my mom needs me, I'm basically there.
Okay. All right. So has there been a bucket list or something that you wanted to do, but you couldn't because you're a caregiver?
Not really, because my husband works a swing shift. So there's not really anything that, you know, because he works all the time. So if there's anything that we need, you know, want to do, I would just, you know, ask a family member, you know, hey, look, there's something that we're needing to do. Can you help me out? And, you know, they're there, but I try not to do anything, you know, to bother my family, so to speak, because like I said, she's mentally ill, and, you know, I have an older sister, and she's just like, it's like a burden to ask her.
Okay. Okay. So does your sister, I take it you guys live in the same area?
Yeah, within 45 minutes of each other.
Okay. So if one of your children, or both of them, wanted to move out of state, you know, move out of the country, wherever, and you were getting sick, would you expect them to stop or put their dreams on hold to take care of you?
That's a hard question. not really, because I was a stay-at-home mom. So they had me 24/7. That's a hard question to ask, though, because I'm sure they would.
But would they? Okay, so let me ask this. Do you think they would do it because out of guilt, or because, you know, mom did so much for us, you know, we should, as opposed to them, you know, doing it because they really wanted to?
I think it would be more out of obligation.
So if they did it because of that, would you feel guilty or bad?
Yes, I would, because I wouldn't want them to do that.
Okay.
I want them to live their life and, you know, enjoy life.
Okay.
No.
All right. No, I mean, I feel the same way. I would never want my son to do something because he's like, okay, I'm going to do it because I want him to do it because he wants to do it. And if he, you know, was planning on doing something, and either it was an opportunity for him, or just that I knew that he was planning on doing something, I can honestly say that I would tell him, go ahead, do it, whatever. I will find someone else, or, you know, whatever. But has there ever been something that you've really wanted to do that you just didn't, and you think that before that day comes, where you are here no more, that you're going to regret not doing it?
No, because I'm a simple kind of lady.
Okay. All right.
And if it's something that I really, really want to do, I would include her. You know, if it, like going out of town or something, I would really include her, because I would feel like, you know, well, maybe she would like to see this, or maybe she would want to do this too. So I would really try to include her, because she likes to travel. So Yeah, I would include her in that.
All right. Is there anything that and I know I'm asking these questions. I'm putting you on the spot, but
that's okay.
I am glad you came up. So is there anything that you personally want to do that you wanted to do or you want to do that doesn't include anybody else but you?
Oh no, these days I'm scared to go anywhere by myself.
Okay. All right. So when you were younger, were you more and someone who would step out, like when I say younger, I'm talking about before you got married, had children, blah blah blah, that you were more willing to do things on your own?
Before I went to college, I would, you know, step out and do stuff, but it wasn't anything like as far as like leaving the state, you know. But I really never did, you know. I was more of a stay at home type person.
Okay. All right. So let's see, is Captain Jimmy, you are coming up. Shelby, I'm just tickled that you finally came up. See, we don't bite.
Yes. Don't bite.
We don't bite. Welcome, Jimmy, welcome.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
You're a little faint.
How y'all doing? Can you hear me now?
Yes, better. And by the way, before I start firing questions off at you, Ba and I are still waiting for that email.
What email? I'm sorry, I've had the last 2 weeks, I've been really busy.
Okay, we had an email. I wanted you to send an email so we have your information for Friendly Differences, because we actually wanted you to be on a show this Saturday.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, so please send us an email to friendlydifferences@gmail, please.
Can you put that in the chat so I can see that?
Friendly Differences. Well, no. Just send the email friendlydifferences@gmail. And everyone, I apologize for taking a break to say that, but Ba and I have been trying to get in contact with Jimmy, and Ba just put it into the chat. So, Jimmy, what we're talking about today is, did you ever, you know, pause your dreams and push rewind? And what I was talking about with Shelby and Deb was, what if you had a parent who either gave you everything, I mean, you had everything, but they were not there for you mentally or physically, they were not there. Or on the flip side, maybe your parents, you know, you guys didn't have everything, but you still came home, you still had food on the table, you had a place to sleep, you had clothes to wear, but again, they were not there physically or mentally. They were not there for you. Do you feel an obligation to put your dreams on hold to take care of them? And before you answer, Shelby said that just because they were not good parents does not mean that you cannot be a good child. And Shelby also said two wrongs don't make a right.
That's so true. I agree with her. No, actually, my family and I, we've always been really close, super close to each other. And my parents were always there for me, you know, no matter what, for whatever reason. But I have put my life on pause for my dad when my dad had cancer. I quit my work, I quit school, and I took care of my dad for 2 years, half a month.
Okay, all right, and I remember you telling us, yeah, because I
my life, yeah. And you know what? It was an honor taking care of him. It was an honor, you know, being there for him. You know, giving back to him what he gave to me growing up. You know, returning that love. That kindness, and just to know that, you know, I was there for him those last 2 years of his life, you know, it's just, it's, I don't know if people will understand this, but it means more to me now than what it did at that time, simply because I didn't know at that those times were the limited times I've had with them, or the limited days I had with them. And, you know, just being thankful that I, out of all the kids, I was the one who spent the most time with them. It wasn't because my siblings didn't get along with my parents. It was just that they lived in different cities at the time. It was hard for them to commute back and forth. But just knowing that I had more time with them than the other two, I'm not trying to rub it in their face or trying to show off, but I'm just saying that, you know, it's nice that I have more time.
So, would you, Jimmy, you do or you do not have children?
I don't have children.
Okay, so if you were to put yourself in the scenario as a parent, would you expect your children or child to do the same thing that you did for your father if they were in a situation where they had an opportunity and this opportunity was not going to come around again, or they were just living their best life, and not that they didn't want to help you, but they wanted to stay focused on their own life, would you expect them to take care of you?
Truth be told, in all honesty, no, I don't expect them to drop everything like I did for my dad. And I will understand it. I mean, there's opportunities in life that only come once in a lifetime. And if I'm at that point in my life where I'm dying, you know, going through something already with, like I do with my dad, I don't expect my children to miss out on opportunities.
Would you feel somewhat kind of PO'd if they didn't help, like just a little bit of resentment that they chose to continue doing what they're doing and living their life as opposed to helping you?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't be upset.
Okay. All right.
I get some people. I get it why some people would be, but, you know, I think it's different for everybody, especially those who've already gone through a certain scenario in their life or certain situation in their life where they know what it feels like to give up everything. And I wouldn't want my children's life to be put on hold because of me. I would rather have them live their life their best they can, because we don't know when our time's up, when our last day is, and I don't want their last days to be worrying and stressing and, you know, so much. I'm not saying that I'll be a pain in the ass, but, you know, I just don't want them to feel as if they, you know, feel that burden or feel like they're not doing enough for me. I don't want them to feel like that.
So has there been, aside from your dad, though, has there ever been something that you've really wanted to do and you just haven't done it? Because of another, you know, because of another situation where that forced you to put your life on hold. Or even not force you, just, I mean, just for whatever reason.
Yeah, I actually had an opportunity to go to, on a big trip, you know, with some friends, and my mom had surgery, and my dad needed my help with her, because when he went to work, he needed somebody to be there with her. So instead of going on that trip, I decided to stay at home and help my dad take care of my mom after she had her surgery. And her healing process took over a year.
Okay. And D-Mac, I know that he's answering the question on a hypothetical basis. I know he said that he doesn't have children. So, yeah. I understand that Jimmy was giving me a hypothetical answer. So, I mean, guys, is it ever, I mean, you know, and Deb, Shelby, you know, Jimmy, whomever, you know, wants to answer this, this question, but do you think that we spend a lot of times adjusting our lives to fit our lives, that for whatever reason, you know, something happens and we're constantly in adjust mode, you know, and that could be from either, you know, and this may seem silly, but yes, I'm going to say it anyway, from having a disaster like a flood or a fire or an earthquake or something, that things just seems like, you know, like you say, it is not one thing, it is something else. That there's always that something else that's making you having to change the course of your life. Anybody want to answer that one?
Like you mean obstacles?
Well, obstacles, or you know, just okay. For instance, yesterday, or what's the date? Thursday. Okay, so Tuesday afternoon, our pipe in our water heater busted. Okay, and everything that I had planned on doing, and even though this is a small thing compared to the bigger picture of my life, but a water heater busted. You know, I mean, a pipe from the water heater busted. And aside from, you know, dealing with having to get somebody to come out and mopping up water, you know, whatever, you know, it's like, you know, I literally said out loud at one point, I said, it's not one thing, it's something else as I'm trying to clean up this water, you know, and and then all yesterday, you know, things that I wanted to do, like I canceled the show, you know, there, you know, just things that I just couldn't do because I was dealing with this water heater. So again, you know, I'm just saying, is there something that every time you want to go on that trip, every time you want to travel, every time, you know, you want to spend the weekend with the guys or with the girls, whatever, or, you know, you've been meaning to go and buy this dress. Every time you get ready to leave the house or get ready to do something, something happens.
Yes, I can say yes. 6 years ago, we had a vacation planned with our kids. And unfortunately, my father-in-law had a stroke that later on, about a month later, he passed. He couldn't recover. So we did cancel our vacation within that time frame. So, you know, it's just life does happen. And you have to I can't find the word. you have to roll with the punches. You can't just, I mean, I know that, you know, it, like you said, you have to say, oh my gosh, now what else can happen? That was a freak accident, what happened to us. We never expected anyone to pass. But we have to look at the simple fact, we are a very religious family, and we look at it as the fact that God needed him more than we did. And that was just something that we had to deal with at the moment. But we never really looked at it as what could happen next, you know, at the moment we did, but now we look at it as a blessing.
So did you ever get a chance to take that vacation?
Yes, we did. We took it about 2 months later.
Okay. Okay. All right. So at least you were at least still able to take that vacation.
Right. Yes.
Okay. All right. Welcome, Crucible. So, you know, and that's what I mean. You know, I'm glad, Shelby, that you were able to still go, but, you know, has there ever been something, you know, with anyone, Shelby, with you or with anyone where that, oh my God, what else is going to happen? And you weren't able to go, you weren't able to go on that vacation or buy that, whatever that you've been wanting to buy. You know, Deb, did you want to answer or? I don't know if she's still here on the panel. Sometimes it's crazy the way. Okay, Deb, I don't know if you're still here or not. Shelby, did you want to answer that?
I'm good. I'll let somebody else speak.
Okay. All right. No, I mean, I didn't know if Deb was still here, because sometimes it shows you're here and then people are like, oh no, she's gone, or I can't tell if she got a phone call or something. But you don't know, because there have been times when, you know, like I said, if it's not one thing, it's something else, where I've wanted to do something, and one particular thing that I've wanted to do, which I'm not going to share what this particular thing was, but I just haven't been able to do it, because every time I get ready to do it, which is like, it seems like every year when I get ready to do it, something happens when I'm not able to do this one particular thing, but I am determined to do it before I die. You know, but I can say that I do have a bucket list, and there are many times where, like, you know, like I've said, you know, adjust your life to fit your life. There are many times where I've had to do that. But I always try to do the things that I want to do. So if that makes sense. Yeah. Lou says, wait, hold on, I missed something here. Okay. Okay, Deb, I see that you did log out. Okay, D-Mac says, I think that you cannot plan every facet of your life. If it ain't one thing, it's another, it's a fact of life. We do have to adjust. We learn and grow this way. Our parents die, the basement floods, a tree falls in our front yard, we get into a car accident. Yes, D-Mac, yes. I mean, that is definitely something that we have to do. And no, we cannot plan every facet of our lives. You know, but yes, our parents die, the basement floods, the tree falls on our homes. You know, the fire can wipe out an entire neighborhood or more, you know, whatever. Things do happen. But is it wrong for us to want to, even though those things have happened, is it wrong for us to want to jump back and try to still make it right? That we still, when I say make it right, I mean, you know, is it wrong for us to still, yes, my mother died, yes, my father died, you know, whatever, my child is in the hospital, but after all that is over with, can't we still plan on wanting to go on that vacation? Can we still plan on, you know, wanting to, you know, redo that room in our house? You know, can't we still do that? Welcome, Chill.
Sure.
So
I don't see why not, just because something postponed you at that moment when you had the opportunity to do it. Why stop doing it just because you missed an opportunity or a small moment in time to go do it back then? If you still have the time, you should do it now.
But Jimmy, do you think that there are some people who will just say, oh, well, you know what? This happened. So I'm not going to do it. And you have some people who, after they've gotten over that hump or they've done whatever, that they still focus on what they wanted and they do it. Like, why is it that some people as soon as they have that barrier in their way, they just say, okay, that's it. But you have the other people who will still continue to try to accomplish the dream or goal that they had.
I think it just has to do with some people who are, there's some people in this world who are optimistic and they see that there's more, or, you know, like some people, they see there's more than one way to skin a cat, and then some people, they're taught one way or get things, and they just stick to that one point of view and they don't expand their horizons to be able to view there's more than one way to do something, or you have more than one time to do it. They just said, I missed this trip with my friends. I'm never going to have this memories with my friends. I don't want to go. But so what if you don't go at that time? What if you find a trip with your friends again and you make it the time? What if this time is better than the first time they went and they enjoyed it even more? You have better memories. So why cut yourself short in life just because a problem happened? I always like to look at it this way. You know, things happen not just because they happen for a reason. I think as a religious person, religiously, the way I see it, as I've always seen it, God doesn't want me to go there for a particular reason. There's something there that's going to stop me from growing as a person. And God does things to stop us from I guess you could say, hurting ourselves spiritually, or hurting our relationship with God, in other words. And God doesn't want us to go to that path. He says, nope. So I need you to stay away from that. And he reroutes you somewhere to a different path. And people just need to stop seeing it as something negative, like, oh, why is this always happening? Why is this happening? And take a look at it and say, well, you know, it didn't happen because, you know, something was there. You know, if good things happen to you, you will. Scholarship, you get a bonus, someone throws a party in your honor, people handle adversity. Yeah, true, D-Mac, very true. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. People handle adversity different. It's just, I think it has to do with how that person was raised, how that person, who they surround themselves with. I mean, if you surround yourself with people who are negative and don't have a good outlook on life, that's going to rub off on you, and you're going to have that same mentality. Whereas if you surround yourself with people who are positive, positivity, you know, you'll have a better outlook on life.
That's what okay. I see. Okay. Petty Deb, you're back. You wanted to jump in?
Yes.
Okay, you are very faint.
What about now?
Still faint.
I'm going to have to log out again.
Okay. All right. You're welcome to come back up when you come back. Okay, so D-Mac says, yes, good things happen too. I'm assuming you're saying you'll win a scholarship, you get a bonus, someone throws a party in your home. People handle adversity differently. Yes, like Jimmy says, that is true. So I'm sorry, Shelby, did you want to say something?
No, I'm good.
Okay, no, your mic was kind of blinking there. That's why I was asking.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, I know that this is when we start talking about, putting your dreams on hold and, adjusting your life and what have you, I know that it can sound selfish, that some people can sound selfish, because I know that at times I sound selfish, but at the same time, life just goes by so fast. Life really does, I mean, it just goes by so fast. And I always wonder when I see some people's lives, when I'm, again, I've said, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but sometimes when you think you're able to peek in and you could be completely wrong, you can assume something, and it's wrong. But when I seem to look at some people, it seems like that they're just letting life pass them by. That they're not, either living up to their full potential, whatever that may be, and however you want to, and exactly what does that mean? Or, you know, you have see some people who are just those get out and go people, and they'll go and do this, this, and this, and this. So my last question is, do you think when you come to the end of your life, you're going to be satisfied and content? Or do you think you're going to be one of those people who are one of those, I wish I could have, would have, should have? Because I've always, for me personally, I've never wanted to be the I wish I would have, could have, should have person. Thank you, Charlie. You have a great weekend also. You know, so what are you going to do at the end of your life? How do you, are you going to be, do you think that you'll be content? So Jimmy, I will ask you first. And that's my last question. I don't have any other questions unless somebody says something, I think of something. All right, Jimmy. Okay, Jimmy, if you're speaking, we cannot hear you. Oh, okay, so Jimmy, he's probably going to come back in. Okay, yeah, I was right. He's coming back in. Okay, Jimmy?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes. In fact, your sound is a lot better. Okay. Awesome.
No, I don't think I'll have any regrets. I think my life, I'm pretty content with it. I mean, I've done some pretty amazing things and gone to some amazing places that I never thought I'd see in my life, but I've been there quite a few times, and the things I've done in my life, sure, you know, everybody says, you know, I wish I could have done things differently, but you know what? You know, I say, you know, things happen for a reason. You know, I don't like to look at life negative or the negative aspects of life. I just like to march on, you know, with positivity, be happy, no regrets, no, I should have, could have, would have, because all that's going to do is going to make your life miserable. Because people are just going to sit and dwell on that. And I can say that from personal experience. I mean, I used to be that kind of person that had those thoughts. Oh, I should have done this, could have done this. But you know what? Nah. I don't want to dwell on what could have been or what might have been. I just want to dwell and think about the good times and what was, what is, and what will come.
Okay. All right. Julian.
No, it's Linda. I'm using a friend's phone. That's why it's Julian. Well, it is me, Linda. And what I was going to say is, at the end of my life, I'll have loads of regrets because it's got no way. It's gone no way to what I wanted it to do. It's got no. I've got no house. Got. I've lost my husband. I've lost me. Not my husband. My partner. A child. You know. And basically, I've nothing really. I hate the place I live in, you know, and basically...
I'm sorry, you say you hate the place that you live in?
Yes. I just, I wake up every day anxious, thinking, what the hell am I doing on this earth, and I wish I wasn't here. So, yes, okay. I will have a lot of regrets.
Well, Linda, is this something that you can change now? I mean, are some things in your power to change now? Maybe not all of them, but are some things in your power to change?
Sometimes I think I can, and sometimes my brain just thinks it's too much. It's like, because I've got hammered all the time, when I've tried to pick myself up and be strong, and you know, like another thing come where I basically had to learn to walk again because my nerves, my discs were cutting my spinal cord. So basically that was another thing. There's just always this something else that comes along and that just knocks me down and it's got to the point where I'm right down at the bottom again. And I don't know if I've got the strength to pick myself up, basically, because I've, you know, what people don't understand in mental health, that if you keep picking yourself up, and you keep getting hit one time after another, you don't have time, the space to get yourself strength back up. And you're just sort of going down and down and down a hill that you feel that you're going to nowhere near somebody that's ordinary, who's got a family, got children, nice, a nice house, live in a nice place, and you're down there at the bottom. It takes a lot to pick yourself up from that.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to read what D-Max says. D-Max says, honestly, I think I will have a couple of regrets for some of the things that I didn't seize when the opportunity presented itself. And Frankie, thank you very much for the gift. So Shelby, if you are still there, I'm going to start wrapping it up. Is there anything else you want to add, or? Hold on a minute, Linda. I'm going to just put you on mute while somebody else is talking. Okay, Shelby, go on.
I don't really have any regrets. The one regret is I do have one. I just wish that, you know, I would have, as far as parent-wise, I would have done more. I don't say that I do the bare minimum, but, you know, you always think, you know, in certain instances, well, I wish I could have done more. So I would have to say I just wish that I could have done more. You know, I'm not the type of person that thinks, oh, I wish I could have been famous or, you know, something like that. But, you know, a lot of people think that they could have been famous, or that, you know, they could have done this or they could have done that. And I'm just a simple old girl that thinks, you know, well, I wish I could have just done more for her. You know.
Okay. So you're saying you're doing more for your mom.
Right.
Okay. But in terms of, you know, for you personally, when it's time for you to go, do you think you'll have regrets for something you did not do? Not necessarily for your mom, but other things.
No, not really.
Okay. I think that's great. Okay. So, Captain Jimmy, I'm going to give you the last word. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Sorry, I had myself on mute. I stepped away for a while. But, I don't have any regrets. I try not to, I tell people that don't look at the negatives in life and dwell on that. You know, life's like a garden, you know, whatever you plant is going to grow. So if you plant negativity in your mind, just like a garden, you know, weeds are going to grow, you know, every so often in your garden. And if you don't tend to your garden and pull those weeds out, get rid of them, your plants are never going to grow. And if you don't get rid of those negative thoughts out of your head, they're always going to sit there. And they're always going to weigh you down, put you down. And they're going to be like a weight. You're going to just sit there and sink with the weight. I mean, life has mountains. You know, but the thing about mountains is you don't sit there and cry when a mountain gets in front of you. You find a way to go around, either to the right, to the left. You go up that mountain. You can go underneath the mountain and pop up from the other side. And then you can even go through the mountain. There's always a way past those obstacles in lives. Those I shoulda, coulda, woulda in lives. You just don't sit there and just dwell on it. Because it's like, like I say, it's like sitting at the foot of a mountain crying because there's a mountain in your path. You're going to sit there and cry, or you're going to do something about it. You're going to get around it.
Okay. Actually, I am going to ask Linda, does she have one more thing that she would like to add before we wrap this up?
People to say, oh, you should just basically, you know, see the bright side and look at the sort of things and forget the past. It's not quite as easy as that, especially if reality, when you go out and you see the reality that somebody else is living, you know, like across the road from me, I've got this woman that's got her out and given her parents have given her house. She's basically going away all the time. You know, she's got a boyfriend. It's, and you've got that. You can't sometimes say, oh, sorry, I'll forget about that, because it's there in front of your face. You know, and it's so easy for people to say that, you know, just sort of basically forget it's there. Well, it doesn't work like that sometimes. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Deb says, I regret you didn't get to know your parents better. I think we probably have a lot of people who probably feel the same way. All right. So on that note, guys, let's see anything. And thank you, everyone, for liking the show. I do appreciate it. So today is Thursday, which is my Friday. I will not be back until Monday. However, Ba and I will be doing a show on Friendly Differences this Saturday, 12 noon Pacific, 8 p.m. UK time. And Jimmy, I hope you're able to join us on that show, because we are talking about disabilities, and Mr. B will be on that show. So, Jimmy, again, friendlydifferences@gmail.com, if you can drop us a line, because we want to know if you are available for that show.
But other than
that, guys, and again, Frankie, thank you so much for the gift, and everyone, thank you for liking the show. So to everyone, enjoy the rest of your week, your weekend, wherever you are in the world. And as always, go where the wind takes you. Bye. And Jimmy, you better reach out to us, because we've been wanting to talk to you.
I will. I'm just going to finish doing a couple of things here, and then I'll get on my computer and send you an email.
Okay, thank you. All right, so to Jimmy, Crucible Bob.
I can join you on that show. I mean, I can honestly say I'll join you on that show. I just got to know what.
Okay, great. But it's 12 p.m. Pacific.
Okay.
But we need your information so we can send you a link.
Oh, okay, cool. Right on.
Because this will be on video.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, I just want you, you know, hold on. I just want you to be, that's why we need the link. So that's why we need to send you the link, because this is going to be video.
Video like what? What do you mean?
Like your face.
Oh, my face. Oh, okay.
You will be seen.
Oh, like YouTube or what?
This is going to be via Melon. So yeah, so it will be streaming live on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and wherever else. But everyone can see what everyone looks like and, you know, have some good conversation.
Okay. All right.
Everyone, thank you so much. And thank you all for coming. I do appreciate it. And I hope you guys will tune in on Friendly Differences on Saturday. Until then, Veronica, thank you for coming, but we are leaving. And I'll see you guys on Monday. Bye.